lifts up in you. Bless those that are not with us. Lord, take away the hindering causes. We commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been reading so much on reading the seals. We're still on the third seal. We've been reading that so much till I thought we'd be speaking in the same line. It'll be on the third seal, but just put third seal, message number 5 is what it'll be, but it'll just put great test at the top of it underneath where you got your title of the third seal. Just write great test, and in that way you'll know a little more about what we're trying to get to. Now, I hope you're following along in the pattern or the example that we've been trying to bring, and how that we have went over it and over it and over it, covering how that the second seal promised a restoration of the word. The third seal reveals how that word shows its being restored unto us. Then we saw this morning and last Sunday and all how that God is upon the scene on the third seal. Now, that's basically contrary to most of what I've heard taught on the seals, and even some of what I taught on the seals, because I don't mean it's contrary to the truth of what we was teaching, but I'd always kind of waited until up later on the sixth seal to talk about God coming on the scene and all. Well, that's fine, but we'll see a little later why that we're covering it like this, because you only go as far as four seals. The rapture takes place on the fourth seal. See, then you'll see the revelation of the fifth, sixth, and seventh, and you'll see God does come on the scene on the sixth seal to Israel in the tribulation through the message to them, and you'll see that God comes on the scene on the sixth seal to us, because the seventh seal is his coming, meaning he's literally here, not on his way. So then we'll see it that way, but what I wanted us to see from this is just to pick it up in the earthly journey, and that's the way we've been going through the patterns and types or our deeper meanings or higher levels or further advancement or whatever you'd want to call it. But we saw the third seal revealed God on the scene because he said, hurt not the oil and the wine. See, he was right there present, saying, hurt not the oil and the wine. But we saw this morning now covering the life of Moses, and we said we'd try to pick it up tonight on the life of Moses. We saw this morning that Moses, under the second seal, saw a promise of God that they would be a deliverer sent. He was told, if you remember what we brought out this morning, he was told from his mother's lips, he had the word given unto him from his mother's lips besides the scrolls he could read of how a deliverer would be sent. He knew he was to be that one to deliver Israel. But yet in his own might, as we covered, in his own self, he set out to free Israel, but failed. As I said this morning, if he failed the first time with his own intellectual understanding, even though he was called for the job, even though God had, the mother had told him from a baby and he could read the scrolls and everything like that, he still lacked something, didn't he? If he'd went back the second time, as I said, if he'd been walking down through there and said, well, I see a burning bush up there. It's on fire, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I see now the sign's ready for me to go. God's come down. I'm ready to go. Now I'll go down to Egypt and take over. Because God said he'd send signs to show that I was called on. So I'm called. Here I go. He'd went down to Egypt to take over like that. He'd have failed a second time, wouldn't he? Well, that's what the people of the message are trying to do. They're trying to say, well, if God was with Brother Branham, then I know he'll be with me, and I know he's called me, and that's not what I'm trying to preach. I want you to understand that to start with. I'm not Baptist of trying to say, well, let's just believe who we are, and everything will be all right. The burning bush had what Moses lacked. God has what we lack in it. What we have need of, God has, and he can give it to us. So now let's get down to it to see. Moses saw a deliverer promised. Then at the burning bush, he met that deliverer. He knew then that he wasn't the deliverer of Israel. Before then, he thought intellectually, like we would think, he thought he was the one that was to deliver, didn't he? Because he tried it. But then he met the real deliverer when he went to the burning bush. And when he met God at that bush, God came on the scene there to him because the word was promised to be restored. And then God came and said, "All right, Moses, here it is now. You go down and take over Egypt. I have come down to deliver my people. Now you go." All right, and then we ended up this morning seeing that if we don't have the word in us, see, the third, second seal shows the restoration of the word. Third seal shows the word being restored. And as I said, then the fourth seal shows what the word will do. It'll destroy Satan. So now we're preaching a couple of messages still on the third seal to try to get to a place of seeing that that very word will speak itself. God will be here with us and God will do the speaking. Because no man can create, it wasn't Brother Branham that created squirrels or anything like that. It was God using his voice to speak. God said, "You have need of it." He said it was sovereignly given, the five times that he spoke the word. And then he said, "What you've seen in parts, you see in its fullness." As we covered this morning, Moses said, "All right, here it is. Watch God prove things." He said, "Moses, here's a fire, bush on fire. Go get the children of Israel, bring them back here. I'll prove to them that I met you in a burning bush." When they came back to the mountain, the whole mountain was on fire. All right, God through the prophet in this end time said five times a spoken word happened. He said, "What you've seen in parts, you'll see in its fullness." All right, that's what I'm expecting. I believe that. Watch it when we get out of the end. We might not be able to speak things into existence, but we can have faith. Now, if I can get that far, we can have faith. We might not be able to stop the sun like Joshua did, but we can have faith. We might not be able to do like David and kill Goliath, but we can kill death and it'll be conquered in us and we'll go into resurrection and rapture. Now, which one you'd rather be then? David, Joshua, stop the sun? Kill a bear, kill a lion. No, I'd rather be over here in the end time. Because death's going to be conquered by somebody. But what did we see? The third seal shows the word being restored to the people, and with the restoration of the word comes the restoration of power. All right? Then, what did we cover? The life scripture. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. Why? Brother Brown said, it's not you asking. He said, it's the Father in you doing the asking. Remember that was on what the Holy Ghost is given for? Page 21, 20 and 21. He said, it's not you doing the asking. It's the Father that's in you doing the asking. It's not me that's an overcomer. It's God in me that's the overcomer. It's not me the Word. It's the Word in me. Making me then the word, and then we got everything in its correct order. Alright. Excuse me. We see then Moses, after all of his life, now watch it. We'll go through it slow. But we see Moses now, after all the great experiences he's had with God, after all the things that he's come to, because we're talking about a great test now, we see Moses as he comes up against the Red Sea and he begins to cry. He begins to cry out to God and God rebukes him for crying, see, failing his test. Because that was the test that was put before Moses. He was given a test and then you see Moses failing that test. Now watch it and you'll see how it comes down that he actually failed the test. But now, watch it as we go through it. We see him crying to God. I'll read the scriptures about it in a few minutes. But we see him crying to God and we see God rebuking him and saying, "Speak to the people and move forward." we see a great test now put before Moses. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Read your accounts there of it in your Bible and in Exodus. He had called down fleas, frogs, flies. All the firstborn of the children of Egypt had died. All of those things had happened. It had become dark right in the middle of the day, and there was not a bit of light there. Goshen had light, but Egypt was in total darkness. Called down plagues of all kind raining out of the sky. Gets the children on their way over, you know, and brings them out. Gets them out there a little piece, and he runs up against a wall now. We see him as he strikes that wall, and all at once, God says, quit that crying to me, and speak the word and move forward. All right, now, we've got to be put to a test. Moses was put to a test, and Moses failed the test. Now, me and you got to be put to a test. You remember a couple of weeks ago, a couple of services ago, where we read from page 9 of God of This Evil Age, where Brother Branham said that the church has got to prove to Satan that she is not like that Eve was back there. Now, you remember that? All right, then we are put now to a test. There's a test right now that's going on. And watch it in this with Moses now, and maybe we can see our test. But Moses being now put to a test, and the church now, look at what the setting I'm bringing of it. We'll use the life of Moses and come down with it. Moses being put to a test and failed that test. You see a church here now in the end time. She's being put to a test. God has given us the word. Now he's kind of what you'd say, and I don't mean it maybe in the sense of the word that it sounds, he's withdrawn his presence because the Bible said he never leave you nor forsake you. He can't leave you. Give you the Holy Ghost. You've always got it. He don't give it and take it away. But he can withdraw his presence from you. Brother Brown said, you do something wrong, said he goes out on a limb, just showing you like that. He'll withdraw his presence. But when you're put through a test, God will just withdraw his presence for a minute and leave you in that test to see what you'll do. Now, he knows what you'll do. He knew what Job would do, but yet he put Job to the test. Now, the Bible says God don't tempt nobody. Now, you'll read in the Bible a lot of times it'll use the word tempt like that. You know, Abraham was tempted of God. And then turn over and read another scripture. It said God don't tempt nobody. Well, now use the word test there then. God tested Abraham when he gave him the promise, and 25 years later the son came. See, then God tests man. All right, in the test now, sometimes God done it to Job. He just kind of withdrew his presence from him and just left him there in the test. Well, now that's what's happening to us right now. I've tried to tell you about it for years now, maybe about a year or so, about how that God does it. I tell you about my own experience because that's all I can talk about. I can't tell you about yours, but I can tell about mine. How that I'll come to the pulpit, not even no more anointed to preach than it would be if I'd have been going to a ball game or something. I'd probably felt better if I was going or going deer hunting or anything like that. But yet still walk here believing God will meet me here. See, I have to do that because I'm being put through a test, and I'm trying to get you to see that maybe if you'll catch it, you won't have to go through the heartaches I've had to go through. You won't have to go through the things that I have to go through because it just some people has to go through some things where they can tell the others about it and then maybe they don't have to go through it. So I'm trying to help you through what I'm preaching to you. All right, then just take it and apply it to your own life now. That's what we're talking about, the seals. Put them in your own life, not just that they reveal the Antichrist. They reveal the false prophet. It's got to reveal something in the mystery of redemption to us. Then we saw this morning that the mystery of redemption showed God with us under the third seal. And that God being with us, the Word, then He can speak His Word. See, that's the mystery of redemption. We've all taught adoption and things like that, trying to come up to it. But now, if we'll watch something, now just watch Moses' life. And maybe in the test that we can see Moses go through, maybe we can catch what we have need of. You know, maybe we can kind of catch what we've got need of in our own lives if we'll see what happened to him. Because here he is right in a time of trouble, crying out unto God, seemingly what we've always been taught, you know, that we're supposed to do. I reckon that must be what we've been taught. That's what we always do, ain't it? Trouble comes, we maybe all week long we haven't thought about the Lord at all. We haven't had him on our mind. And about that time we get a little sick or one of the kids gets sick or something, and we say, oh Lord, what's went wrong with us? See, we start crying then. Well, now Moses is a little different illustration here, but we want to see what he's going through. What caused God to rebuke him? Moses failed his test when he was put out there. What happened to him? Now I want to start it off maybe in a funny way, but I want to ask you a question. What if Moses hadn't have done what he'd have done, what he done? Now I'm asking you a serious question. It might sound, as I said, funny starting off in a message, but what did Moses do in this failing in the test? In other words, what if he'd have never done that? You get to sitting of what I'm doing. What if he'd have never done that? What if he'd have just walked out there at the Red Sea and smote it and walked on the cross? Now, think with me. What hope then? What hope would me and you have? This, I said, it's an odd way, but it's the only way I can preach like I see it. If Moses hadn't have made that failure right there and God rebuking him, me and you would have never been able to come to a place to make the rapture. Now, I'll challenge you on that. Let's see you prove it then. Because of one thing. Now, watch my illustration. That challenge might be kind of funny, but I just mean it like I said it. You show me how you'd have come any other way. You show me how you could come any other way than to see the failure of Moses. And that's a funny way of saying it, but Moses failed, and in his failure, you and me will catch it. You've got warriors of faith there. We'll cover them after a while. You've got Joshua that said, "Sun, stand still," and it just stopped right there in the middle of heaven. You've got men like that, like Samson that was down there one day and they closed him in the gates. He's just a ruddy little old feller, maybe 5 foot tall, a little old sissy looking guy, ruddy, you know, maybe not too good looking. And here he is down there laying in the arms of a prostitute, right in the middle of a wrong act. And they say, "Aha, we got you now." So they just slam the gates to on him. And there's a bunch of gates that weighs, I forgot how many tons it weighs. It was just up into the tons that these gates weighed. Well, then how much would it take for the post that holds them up? Brother George there works in carpenter work. He knows you wouldn't hang a 10-ton door on a 20-penny nail. Is that true? You don't hang a 10-ton door on a 20-penny nail. You hang it on what? It would weigh more than the door does because it's got to, or the whole thing will crumble. The weight of it will bring it down. Well, here's Samson right in the middle of the wrong act, and all at once he just gets up out of that wrong act, walks out there, and just reaches down and gets them gates and just walks up on the hillside somewhere and just throws them down. Now, them weighing tons upon tons. You see David or Samson one day walking out through there, and he ain't got nothing to fight with, and all at once here comes about 1,000 Philistines after him. And he just reached down, picked up the jawbone of a donkey, turned around, killed 1,000 of them, and turned around and said, now, does anybody want any more? One little old jawbone of a donkey that them helmets on there, you know these motorcycle helmets, even they're plastic and this, that, and the other. But a dried up bone had bust all to pieces on one of these motorcycle helmets we got now. And they wore brass and all on their heads. But yet he beat them to death with that one jawbone. How many licks do you think you could make? If there's 1,000 of them laying there, you couldn't take an axe and hit them in the head and not kill 1,000 of them. You'd be so dead tired when you got through if they're just laying down waiting on you. But here's a man doing that. Well, now, what my example is one thing. Those are warriors of faith. Then me and you would have to look at that and we'd say, well, that was just for him. That was just for that man. So I guess I'll never be able to make it because we're just a bunch of failures anyway, ain't we? Ain't that the truth? Now we're just a bunch of failures then. Well then where are we going to look at? They didn't have no failures. Those examples I gave you, none of those men had a failure there. They, everyone saw their objective, they went straight at it, and that was it. They had a need of something, they just spoke it, and there it was. We wouldn't have not one example to be able to stand on. We'd just have to say, well, that's for somebody else. Then we'd fail. But in the failure of Moses, the only man that's recorded in the Bible that when he was put in that test, that he failed it. In that failure of Moses, you and I can catch something that will take us in. If we can see what he caught, we can go in by what he caught. And that's what your third seal reveals, the word. That's what we're preaching on, still on the third seal, but it's a great test now. Think about your scripture. What did we read? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you may, that ye are able. But now watch, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you'll be able to bear it. With the temptation now, he's going to provide a way to get Moses out of it. Moses is going to go into a test. He's going to come to a place, he's going to fail that test. And then God is going to take that test right there that he's in, turn around and take him in by that test. This church is a total failure. I'm talking about this one. I ain't talking about the rest of them. That goes to, with it too. But this church right here is a total failure. I'm a total failure in myself. You read why Christ speak and look what the prophet of God said that had spoke thus saith the Lord so many thousands of times and seen the dead raised and seen everything, seen squirrels come into existence, seen all kind of things, turned around on that tape. He said, this tires me down. I'll read it to you in a few minutes we get to it. He said, this just tires me down. He said, cause this is just me. He had made the same identical failure that Moses made. You've read the book enough to know that. Brother Branham made the same identical failure Moses made. Because that's what he said. He said, this message tires me down. Now watch him when he comes in. He said, this is exactly what I've done. Study that message over and over till you see it. He said Moses failed there, and he said, I've done exactly what Moses done. But now get my setting. If Moses hadn't have failed, there would have been no hope for me and you whatsoever. Then you're to thank God for a failure. That's funny, ain't it? That's an odd way for a preacher to preach, ain't it? But what if he hadn't? There'd be no hopes. You'd look at your warriors of faith. You'd have to stand back and look at them and say, well, that was them. Oh, well, I guess I see old so-and-so doing these things, but that's not for me. Now it's for everybody. You can't find this gospel only for certain people. This gospel is for every member of the bride of Jesus Christ. The same promise to Moses is the same promise to me and you. As I was with Moses, read that book. Don't just read it as Brother Branham. Well, as I was with Moses, and Brother Branham said, as I was with Moses, look, he's been with me. Everybody says, as I was with Moses, that's when he was with Brother Branham. What about me and you? What about us now? But see, now you get the thing. You get what I'm talking about. The Bible says, see, Moses failed there. The Bible says that with your temptation, God will provide something in that temptation that you will be able to bear it. See, we don't want the temptations, right? Oh, it'd be nice to stay away from all that. But you'd never learn nothing either. Do you think Job would have ever known that his Redeemer liveth if he'd have never went through a test? Then in the test is where we want to be. But we want to be in it in the right way. We don't want to be in it, oh Lord, what's happening to me? You'll find it in a minute, Moses wasn't even doing that much. I didn't even know Brother Branham had said it that way. I guess it's laying in my subconscious, but I've got identically the page where he says it at, of what Moses was doing. I'll read you the scripture. The minute you find Moses crying one word, I'll show you he was doing the best job of prophesying that you've ever seen. And God rebuked him for crying. You ever read your Bible and thought about it? Show me where he cried at. But Brother Branham, when he brought it out, he knowed what it was. But Moses went over there and said, well, Lord, I guess I'm a failure. I don't know what to do. He wasn't doing that at all. That's a bunch of babies. See, that's a bunch of silly babies. We need the test. Because in the test, we gain the strength. Now, let's watch Moses. Moses' test is what brought him to the place that he is able to go on. So, you see our scripture now. Something in the test will be revealed to you that will make it to where you catch it. When you catch that, then it'll take you through. It's just like the army training you. You know, they don't just take you out to this big high hurdle about 14 foot high and say, jump over that and we'll give you basic training award and tell you going home on your first leave. They give you all kind of trials and tests and troubles and struggles and fights and everything could be thought of and crawling in the mud and all. Then finally they take out that wall and say, get over that and you can go home, boys. Well, then what do? You look back at it and you say, is that all I got to do? Well, you're standing there strong as an ox and ready to whoop anybody. Is that all I got to do, sir? That's all you got to do. You just get over it, and there you go home. Well, see, God does that to his children. He trains us all along, bringing us to a place, and he says, all right, there's the wall. Now, you get over that, son, you'll be all right. We look at the wall and say, Lord, help me over the wall. And that's the only thing Moses said. He said, tell me what to do. And God called it a failure. Let's just watch it coming down through there. It'll be something in our test like it was something in Moses' test that'll take us through if we'll catch it. Now let's just watch the life of Moses. Now I'll just quote these to you. You read the book, Why Christ Speak, because all I'll be quoting tonight will be out of Why Christ Speak. And I wish I could quote the whole book, but it'd take all night. You read from about page 7 through 13, 14, in there, 15, 16. You'll find exactly what I was covering this morning, almost to the letter, about the life of Moses. You'll find him telling how that Moses was born with great faith. You'll find him telling how that at the burning bush, God met him and anointed him for the job. And he puts forth that faith, sends him out to conquer Egypt. You'll find him even saying that it was from the lips of his mother that he got the word, identically what I was covering this morning. Then you'll find him talking about how that when he met God at that burning bush, he had a personal experience. That's what I was trying to cover this morning. He had a personal experience with God. God gave him what he needed right there. As I said, that was had to be in my subconscious, because when I was preaching this morning, that just come to me, and I just bring it out that way. But you read them pages, you'll find exactly to the letter what he was talking about on what I said this morning. He had heard it from his mother. That's on page 11. What Moses spoke down there in Egypt, God backed it up. Showing that he was called for the job, showing that he was on the scene, showing that God was with him. You see him conquering a whole land. You see him destroying a nation that would be equivalent to the nation of Russia. You see a man standing there with a stick taking over a nation like Russia that would be today in our modern day terms of it. And a man just totally wiping out a nation. But then at the Red Sea, you see Moses standing out there crying. And God rebuking him for crying. Now let's just pick that up. Not only will we pick it up in the scripture, but I want to read what Brother Branham says first about it on page 7 of Why Christ Speak. He read the scriptures, and then we'll go back and read it. He talks about how the word of the Lord is so great. He said, this come to me yesterday while I was in study and all. He said, upon this subject, and I thought, I'm just going to, if the Lord willing to speak upon that, because it drives me down. Now listen to that. He said, this drives me down. And I hope it drives us all down that we might see and cause us to look up and to study a little bit in comparing the day that was then unto the day that is now. All right, go back there and compare what Moses was going through. Put it over here to now, and he said, it just tires me down. Listen to it. Now we've got quite a subject, and I'll try to hurry through as quick as possible as the Holy Spirit leads. I want to think of this text of Moses crying out to God in the time of trouble, and God rebuking Moses back, right when trouble was in session. It's just nature, seemingly like for a person to cry out. Listen to it. And then what a rebuke it is for God to turn around and rebuke him for saying it. It's just nature, natural for a man to cry out to God, you know. But then God rebuking him for crying out to him, it looks like a very hard thing. Many times when we look at the scriptures in our own way of looking at them, it seems very hard. See, for Moses to cry out, God rebuking him. But if we study a little while, we find out the all-wise God knows just what he's doing. All right, now, I want to ask you, where was Moses crying? And what did God want him to see? Now, that's two questions I want you to think about for a little while. Where did Moses cry? Now we'll read the scripture, Exodus 14, 13 through 16. Brother Branham said he was crying. Let's read the scripture and see now. And in a minute we'll see he was crying. And if you and me are doing identically the same thing, the prophet of God was doing identically the same thing Moses is doing. It's So then we'll think about it on that form, see, just for a minute. And Moses said, now the background of this, the children of Israel comes out of Egypt, they come down and they get to the Red Sea, and they look over there and here comes Pharaoh and all of his chariots charging out to destroy Israel and take them back captive. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, verse 13 of the 14th chapter, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Now listen at him prophesy. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Now look at your next verse in your Bible. It doesn't say Moses fell down, started doing this and started doing that. Look at the setting of the Bible and you have to get what the prophet says to know he was even crying. Look at your Bible, 13th verse. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses. Now Moses just got through prophesying. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore Christ thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now where did the prophet get that Moses was crying when he preached the message? God says, here, why Christ thou, wherefore Christ thou unto me, or why are you crying unto me? Moses had just got through prophesying and said, the Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and you'll hold your peace. And when he gets through with that great prophecy of a total annihilation of an army that's coming across there to capture them, when he gets through with that prophecy, God says, why are you crying to me? Now, what went wrong? Brother Branham covers it. He says he'd already prophesied, done a good job of it, page 36, Why Christ Speaks. He'd already done a good job of prophesying. But what made God say? Now, you can't find it there in the Bible that he was crying in any way, can you? What made God say, Moses, why are you crying to me? What went on there in that left out part of the Bible that Brother Brown says you got to read between the lines, you know, to get the story and all of it. You know, the Bible's not written out exactly in the detail of this, that, and the other. Sometime it'll skip one verse to the next verse and be 1,000 years between it. But you see Moses standing there prophesying, the Egyptians you see today, you'll see no more. And then God says, quit that crying. Now that's pretty good doing, wouldn't it? That's pretty good speaking. But you see God saying, don't do that. Quit that crying and walk on. Go to your objective. Now if we can catch what went on there. Now what took place in this scene that we're looking at? If we can catch that, maybe we can catch something about me and you that'll give us something that will carry us through. What did Moses do that made God do that? You say, well, it was left out of the Bible and all like that. It was left out right there. And what really happened was there should have been a couple of verses put in the middle where that Moses just turned around and started going, boo, what am I going to do? As I said a while ago, that's a spoiled brat. Moses didn't do that. There was something happened there, though. If we don't catch that, me and you will never make it. I guarantee you on that, we'll never make it if we don't catch what went on there. Because Moses is, as I said, he's the only man in the Bible that failed the test there like that. Job didn't fail his test when he was put in it. He said,
done what I'm supposed to do. I've offered the sacrifice. I'm standing right here on it. He was put in a test, and he stood the test and come through the other side of it. But here's a man that was put to the test and started crying about it. Something happened to him now. If we can catch it, then we'll see how to get out of here. God wanted Moses to catch something that'd be a help to him, and it'd be a help to us in our day. Now let's just watch this test go on. Let's just see now. We found out that it's not a boo-hoo crying spell he was having up there, or a baby temper tantrum fit. Lord, I've got him out here now. Lord, look, what's happening, Lord? That's all messed up. No, just something happened. Something went on. Now, I'll tell you what I think went on. Let's see where it fits the Bible or not. Let's see then if I can come back to the prophet's message and prove it. Then it'll be my revelation as well as the prophet's revelation of what happened, won't it? And people don't like that one. But let's see, you tell me what went on then. Uh-huh, that puts a sting to it, don't it? You tell me what happened there, that the prophet wrote it out, that he cried. You tell me he went boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, and I'll tell you Brother Branham went boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Because he said, I done exactly the same thing. Puts it in a little different light, don't it? Man knows what he's talking about. Brother Brown said, and I was reading in there a while ago, he says, muscles knows what he's talking about, the muscles of faith. He said, it's not afraid of nothing. Well, see, I'm not afraid to stand there and say, come on up here and tell me, because if the Lord showed you, when he gets through with what I say here about what I've got written down and you can see it, then you'll know exactly we see the same thing. You'll know God revealed it to you. What went on there to Moses? A man that had destroyed a nation, but now he's standing there, something's wrong with him, and he has to catch this point. If he don't catch it, he never makes it to the promised land. Showing a church coming in the end time would come down to a test, and if she don't catch it, she'll fail. And when she fails, she goes by the grave. I don't care who she is. I don't care who it is. It'll come down to we'll be a total failure and we'll miss it. All right, then it behooves us, as the Bible says, to pay attention then. First off, now listen. All through the coming out of Egypt, all through the time in Egypt. Now here's my thoughts about it. It'll teach us a lesson if we'll see it. All through the coming out of Egypt, all the time that Moses was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt and all the things that was happening, God was right there on the scene. He was directing Moses what to do. What was directing him to what to do? Moses was anointed back there at the burning bush. And that anointing was right there with him. And when something would come up, that anointing would say, there it is, speak it. Whatever he had need of, that anointing was right there with him the whole time. See, that's why he could stand there when he throwed them rods down and they become a snake. You know, the rod. And then Janice and Jambers throwed theirs down. He just stood still. Natural man would run like crazy. They got 2-1. Moses just stood still. Why? He was told what to do. The anointing was there. It was with him. Everything he said, God said speak, he went out and spoke. We see him here. Now watch this little point. Think very seriously on this point. See if it fits the message. We see him standing here with the anointing on him. He turns around and he says, the children of Israel, they say, what are we going to do? We're backed up against the wall. He turns around to the children of Israel. He said, them Egyptians you see coming there, you will see them no more forever. Stand still and hold your peace. The anointing was on him, and he spoke it. But then what happened next? Moses was given a test. and he failed it. Brother Branham said, I failed the same way. Me and you have failed the same way. What happened next? I don't see Moses crying on the ground and boo-hoo and snot slobbering every which way. I see Moses standing there turning to God after he'd spoke all of that. And he said, Lord, what do I do now? I'll read it to you in a minute. That's what the prophet said he said. He didn't cry and scream and all that. He just asked God, what do I do now? Because God had always told him what to do. He had always directed him through his anointing. He had just told him, the Egyptians you see today, you'll see no more forever. But here's my thoughts of what happened. The anointing was on him 1 minute that said, the Egyptians you see, you'll see no more forever. And then God withdrew his presence. Left him standing there. Left him there by himself. Didn't you? Didn't see him no more forever, did you? They were destroyed. But God wanted him to put into action what he had put into him. Now read the book and see if that ain't the things the prophet's talking about. Here's a point of illustration you might bear to think on this too. Moses still was standing there at that day with the first pull and the second pull in his hand. He still had the first pull. He still had the second pull that had worked down in Egypt so much. And listen now. He still had the third pull that had worked in Egypt. It was the third pull that brought the flies, fleas, and frogs. It was the speaking of the word that brought it. The first pull was what? Throw your rod down, it becomes a snake. Second pull was what? Put his hand into his side and pull it out as a leper. Turn and put it back into his side and take it back out, it'd be clean again. You remember Moses' first and second pull? He's given two signs to make Israel believe him. He still stood there right then with the first pull, the second pull, and the third pull that had already been used. Brother Branham, standing when he preached this message, had already seen five times the spoken word in existence. He had seen God speaking many, many times throughout his life of thus saith the Lord. He still had the first pull, which was to take you by the hand and hold your hand and tell what was wrong with you. He still had the second pull, which was the very discernment of the thoughts and intents of a person's heart. And he was standing there, had seen the third pull work all those times, and he said, this message tires me down. He said, because I've done exactly. I just read it to you where he said, it's just like us, ain't it? There's many, many more times through there that he talks about himself, but I'm just giving you that just so you'll know what I'm talking about. But now think, all of the others now, here's something I want you to see on that third pull. All the others that you'll find all through there, 46, 47, 48, and on through there, that he talks about Samson, Joshua, David, Peter, the Lord Jesus. I know of those that he speaks of there. Not a one of those failed in their commission. They were told what to do, and they never failed. Even Samson, they said, laying down in the arms of a prostitute woman, he still was in the commission. He got up and took the walls and carried them off. But not a one of those ever failed on that third pull. But Moses did. You say, failed on the third pull. You ever heard anybody preach that? No, you always hear them talking about third pull, but you don't hear them talking about somebody failed. Brother Branham stood there. This was preached in 1963, July the 14th.
He had done seen the third pool many times before then. But he said, this tires me down. One time he said, that makes you feel just about that big. He said, that's exactly what I've done. Said, I've waited on the Lord to push me. I would go to him and say, is that thus saith the Lord? He said, that's it. He'd go speak it. Said, I've waited on him to push me. And on page 35 of Standing in the Gap, I just wrote it on the front of this one time. He said, if God pushes a man through a pipe and he don't move at all until God tells him, there's no faith connected with it. And that's exactly what Moses was doing. When Moses come up to that place, he had had the anointing on him to do all of those things and seen it happen, but then 1 second without it, he started squalling. He missed it. Brother Branham covered the book. Brother Branham says, that's where I failed. That's page 37. He wanted him to put the great gift that he had in him to work. 37, 38. He wanted Moses to have faith in the gift that he had given him. In other words, in a split second of time that Moses was standing there, because in just a minute you see him turn around with a stick and walk over and smite that water. And never again did he ever fail again. But that third pool was put in his possession and he failed. The third pool is the speaking of the word, and that's what God told him to do, and he failed that point. Because of this, whether the anointing is on you or not, what's the difference when the word is spoken? Oh, if I feel anointed to speak the word, I'll speak it. What about when you don't feel it? I didn't know the Bible said, if you feel it, believe it. Oh, if I could just feel the anointing that I used to feel in Pentecost when I run the aisles and skipped and jumped and walked benches, and people in this message, I can call their names, that got up and walked rails backwards and forth in the church. And you would know some of them if I called their names. Brother Dale's preaching a message, but I don't think it's right. I can't say nothing about it, but I can't prove he's wrong, but I just don't know whether it's right or not. Is it the word? A dumb donkey told the truth one time. Was it the word? It's in the word. It's in the word what he said. But see, there's two points that people mess up in my thoughts of this. One of them is they can't catch it. The other one is they go too far. Some people's thoughts, as I said this morning, of that is that they see God here, you know, with us and leading Brother Branham and guiding him, and him speaking, thus saith the Lord. And then all at once, God just turns everything over in his hands. And Brother Branham, L. E. Marigi, Brother Branham, said, I'm going to go back and sit down now and let you do it. You want to read the next verse after Moses got through? Look what the next verse said. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand. Was he gone on vacation? He was still telling him what to do. That's what I was talking about this morning. If my word abide in you and you in me, ask what you will. It's not you asking. It's the Father in you. As Jesus said, it's not I that doeth the work, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Then, if I spoke squirrels into existence today under the anointing, glory, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost on me done it,
And then tomorrow the Holy Ghost is gone and I speak them, I guess people would think, well, boy, he done it on his own. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to speak it now. Brother Branham said 5 times, sovereignly given. Sovereign means the one who brings it is in complete control. We have been taught that the church must come, that God has the preeminence among us. It's not preeminence that he's gone on vacation. It's preeminence when he, the preeminent one, is there doing it through our lips. Brother Branham, one time even in here, he even spoke so personal until he stopped and talked about it. He says, now like God would say, I'm just using his lips to say it. And he's talking about his own self. But now listen, don't get the idea from it that God is moving away from you. Like I said, he withdrew his presence from Moses, but where was he at? Still standing right there, personally in control. Down in the third seal, you find, hurt not the oil and the wine, you find a dark age, it looked like the light's put out, but where's God at? Gone on vacation? No, he's right there in the middle of that seal saying, hurt not the oil and the wine. Then he's right here tonight. He may have withdrew his presence a little bit from you to see what you'll do because you're in a test. But in the test, out of the test, anointing or whatever, I am the bride of Jesus Christ. They put a gun to your head one of these days, I don't imagine you have chill bumps running up down your back that you call the anointing. What are you going to do then? Oh, well, the Lord's left me. I just don't feel him. That's where Moses failed at. Brother Branham said, it's been put in my hands. Said he put the word. Do you remember over at the end of this, Why Christ Speak? He said, let me take this word he put in my hands 30 years ago and march forward to the third pull. He had already seen the third pull work in his life, hadn't he? But he said, what you've seen in part, you'll see in its fullness. Now do you see what I'm talking about? You see why I read the scripture? That in the test that you're in, there will be something in the test that will show you what God wants you to know. And Moses, in his time of test, caught it that God was with him whether the anointing was there or not. David, sitting there one time, Brother Branham gave the illustration in here, and I never could understand that until I started studying this message. David, sitting there one day, and he told the prophet Samuel, he said, well, I'd like to build God a house. And David spent the rest of his life getting the material together. Solomon built the temple. But what was the anointing? What was it? What was it under the prophet and what he saw? He saw David. He saw him anointed. Now watch it. Brother Branham gives these in the book if you'll read them. God doesn't leave us that way. Moses had said, the Egyptians you see today, you'll see no more forever. Now they had to be destroyed somewhere. And it had to be done that day. You know, right then. 6 months later, it wouldn't have worked. It was right then it had to be done. And you know what? Moses ought to have caught that. Moses ought to have caught that point. But he didn't. Brother Branham said, Joshua and them understood, but he said Moses misunderstood. You'll find it on over in the book, about 47, 48, somewhere along in there. But now think about it. He prophesied a prophecy. How could he fail for it to be fulfilled? Watch David now. Watch David catch the spoken word as I spoke this morning. Watch David catch it. David was going up there one day, and you remember Goliath went out there and made a great challenge. He screamed out, send me your best man and let us fight. David come up, a little bitty feller that wasn't too good, I don't guess it, handling a lot of affairs, but he's just sent out on the backside of the desert to take care of his daddy's flock. And David said, you going to stand there and let that Philistine do that? His brothers even said, look, son, go home. Look, brother, we know you're a smart aleck and all of these things. You've done all these things. You've done this and that and the other. But said, go on home. This is man's work now, in other words. You're not a soldier. He said, I'll fight him. What was his basis now? Was his basis that Noah had built an ark? As Brother Woodby preached to us one time, was his basis Noah had built an ark, and if Noah built an ark, then bless God, God will lead me through it. No, he put it something personal in his own life. If Moses had just caught that, see, that was the thing he finally caught when God brought it to his attention. If he'd have just caught that God wanted him to see his call for the job, then how could he fail? David standing there, he said, God that delivered my father's sheep, how shall not he deliver his own children? Something on that order. He said, the God that slew the bear and the lion, he said, I was out there on the backside of the desert taking care of my father's natural sheep, and he said, there was a lion come out. He said, I just rose up and killed a lion. He said, there was a bear came out. He said, I just rose up and killed a bear. And he said, the God that delivered me from the hand of the bear and the lion shall deliver me from the hand of that Philistine. You know what he was basing it on? One thing, I believe. Let's see if it'll stand true or not. I believe he was basing it on something that he knew that Moses failed on. Moses failed to look back at his own life and see what he'd just done and say, by that I know I'll make it. But David looked back to the day that Samuel had anointed him king. How could he fail then? How could the giant kill him? He wasn't king, was he? Saul was king. How could he fail then? Joshua was told what? Take the children into the promised land. Now, if he's going to take them in, how could he fail? If he just got faith in that he's going to take them in, he can't fail that. Why did Brother Branham be so certain when he would stand there and he'd say, I see you here, you're a young man, but he said, I see you 10 years from now walking down the road where you launch under your arm going to work, thus saith the Lord, you shall not die, you shall live. Because there wasn't no way the man was going to fail to live 10 more years. He'd say, I see you as an old man going to work. There was no way the man was going to fail. 1970, along in there, somewhere right after Terrence was born, a few years after then, the Lord showed me a dream that we'd have a little girl about that high, and she'd have shoulder-length black hair. I went around telling everybody, they laughed to scorn at me. They said, why, the rapture's going to come before 77. How could you have a child? And it'd be that big, you know. They could see a little bitty one then, say 73 or something along in there. They could see a little old baby about me that high, but I said there's going to be one just about that high with shoulder-length black hair. They laughed me to scorn. I said, I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, all I'm telling you is tell a dream like the Bible tells. All right, the girls here, where's their laughing at? I believed it. I just told it. And you know what? If I'd have had any common decent sense and to believe God then, I'd have walked out there before all of them and I'd have said, you laugh all you want to, but that's thus saith the Lord, she will come. She did. Now you argue with the thus saith the Lord about it. If I'd have had any sense, I'd have walked out then and says, we're not going out of here in the rapture in 77. Because the girl's not here. But you see, I didn't believe it then. But I see it now. That's where we've all failed at. Brother Branham would reveal the God of man getting old and he'd be a young man. He'd say, thus saith the Lord, you cannot die. God give me a vision. It was really a vision from God of the year 2550. There's no way in the world this world could pass away before then. That's how sure the Word of God is. But when we go presumptuous, see, presumptuous, presuming, we can fail. Years ago, I had a dream that I saw the rapture. I saw a flying saucer come down out of the sky because it was just like the brightness of the sun coming down. Me and some people was working. I won't call their names because they were in this message. We're working on an old building. This thing come down just like that, and when it did, it just separated. It made three wheels. It was the bottom of a flying saucer, and it just turned just like cogwheels. I turned from them working on that building. I went up to the house where I was living. And when I did, I got there, and my wife was standing there with a baby in her arms. And the light went over from where I was and come right straight down the road. It took me a long time. I had the wrong direction figured out. I'm living exactly where the light landed. I'll take you there and show it if you'd like. I used to think it was over next to my brother's because of the way the light went from me over the house and down. But you come to the front of that house and stand exactly parallel with it and let it go over and down, it lands exactly where I'm living now. You think anything could change me getting there? The promises of God are true. If we can just catch it, anointed or not anointed, the word is true. I'll never leave you nor forsake you as long as you feel my presence. Now, what kind of a scripture would that be? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as long as I feel the anointing of the Lord, I believe you're with me. There's no Bible for that. What happened to Moses was just exactly what's happening to me and you. God has put us to a test and come to the place to where he says, all right, I put the word into your hands. I won't even speak the rest of it. I've told people things personal to where that there'd be records of it later. But the Lord has backed off away from the people like that and said, let's see what you'll do now. And I preach messages I've never seen the like in all of my days and have to walk to this pulpit without that anointing I used to have when I walked here. The Lord leaves it up to you sometimes. And let you walk alone to see what you'll do. He knows what you'll do, but you don't know what you'll do. Job didn't know what he would do, so God let him go through it to find out that Job then would know what Job was going to do. But Moses, that's all happened to Moses. The anointing left him, and there he stood. Listen. Me and you are born again, us that are born again Christians. I'm just talking about that group now for a minute to show you something. Maybe we can't speak things into existence, as I said when we started. Maybe that's not our calling. But if we can see what happened to Moses and bring us faith that regardless of anointing or not anointed, to still stand and believe and say, the Lord is with me. It'll come out to a resurrection and a rapture. It'll come out to the third pull. It'll come out to a place that you and I will take our stand on the Word. And no matter if everybody turns against us, we will still take our stand and believe God. No matter who comes against you, who's with you and who ain't, you'll stand on the Word. He's always with us. Don't never get the wrong idea. Don't never think that he'll withdraw his presence and I'll just speak the word myself. It never happened in the Bible. They spoke God's word. I brought it this morning to show you. They got the thought from God and went and spoke it. First it was a thought, then it was given to them as their thought. What you have need of, Brother Branham says in this Christ, in Why Christ Speak, he said, what you have need of, he said, speak the word and move forward to it. Oh, if I just felt anointed, Brother Dale, I'd believe that word. If I just felt it, well, let me get me some ice and maybe we can work it up. If you need goose pimples, God is good. Thomas said, Lord, I won't believe it till I can put my hands into your nail prints and into your side. He said, come on. God's good. Pentecostal people said, I won't believe it unless I speak in tongues. He said, here you are. People of this message say, I won't believe it unless certain things... Okay, he just sends it. But I want to be a person that's not standing on signs. It said, a weak and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Oh, if I just knew were Brother Dale was called or not. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Lord, would you give me a sign? I asked the Lord here a while back, do you want me to quit preaching? Would you give me a sign about it? I couldn't get nothing. I had every case in the world figured out the reason I'd quit. I even had a dream that 12 people voted in a church that we didn't have that many people in it. And even my own wife and the ones that was personal with me had to vote against me staying because there wasn't that many people there. But you know what they were saying? Well, did you see that, brother? He didn't even cry when he read what brother... That. No, you take what the Word says. I have to stand on the Word that He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then you can think what you want to about me. You'll have to answer to God for that. I just answer for what I speak. Brother Branham said in that Why Christ Speak, he said the people, now listen, he said the people ought to have said, Moses, God has always been with you. Now you just speak the word and we'll go. He said that's what they ought to have done. The church ought to at least be behind a pastor enough to say, I'll stand with you with the word. When you leave the word, I just leave you. But as long as you preach the word, I'll stay with you. They could at least say that much. But now listen, Moses finally caught it when God brought his whole life before him and showed him where he was called, where his birth was right, where his mama told him the truth, where the scrolls of the Bible told him the truth, where God met him at the burning bush and anointed him, where that he destroyed a complete nation of Egypt and was just standing there with him and ready to back up what he said. He said, whatever you say will be it. You don't see God then just walking off and leaving him even then. You see God saying, Moses, turn around and smote that water. Joshua going across got into trouble. Sun started going down. He had the enemy routed. He knew they'd get together that night and give him a whole lot more trouble. Joshua, he didn't stop and have a prayer meeting. You know what Brother Branham said? Same book. It's all in here. I'm just quoting out of this book tonight where you can go home and read it or listen to the tape. He said Joshua didn't get down and pray. He said Joshua was already prayed through. He said God prayed him through before the foundation of the world. He said Joshua just stood there and said, son, stand still. He said Samson didn't get down and say, well, Lord, now what you want me to do? What you want me to do? See, he didn't do what Moses done.
Joshua probably didn't feel a great anointing, a great surge of the Spirit come down on him, and he said, "Son, stand still," you know. That's what everybody thinks happens. No. He just knew he was in the line of duty. And he just stood there and he said, "Son, stand still. Moon, hang over yonder." But listen, the church could at least be enough with a pastor to pray for him and hold him up. You remember one time, who was it, Joshua or Moses? One of them was fighting a battle and his arms, as long as he held his arms up, the children of Israel would prevail. But when he dropped down, the enemy would prevail over him. So what happened? Natural strength, he couldn't hold him up. A couple of the men just walked up and held his hands. They wouldn't let him fall. Showing, the prophet said one time about it, he said, showing that on Calvary, Jesus' hands wasn't going to fall. They're just going to take a couple of nails and stick them up there. Showing it wouldn't fail. Nobody in the line of duty ever failed if they'll take the word. If they'll just believe it. Now, if you've got sickness, if you've got anything wrong with you tonight that you want out of the way, Brother Branham said, take the word and step forward. You have any need whatsoever in your life, whatsoever it is, I don't care what it is, you just step forward on the word. Now, don't do it presumptuously or say, "Well, I know we're supposed to do that, so I guess I'll be the first one to do it, so I'll just step." That's stupidity. God is what His Word says. What He says in here, if you got a need of it, you step forward and it'll be there. I don't mean step forward up here, I mean step forward in faith. You sick, something wrong with you, hurting, you got a family lost or something, anything, it don't make no difference. Just take the word and stand on it. "Well, I'd believe if my family was doing a little bit better. If my children would just believe, just quit their drinking and they're doing this, that, and the other, you know, I might be able to believe for them." Now, you didn't get saved that away. Stop that. That's the same thing was happening there to Moses. He's crying. No, don't do that. Just take the word and say, "Lord, I claim them. Because the word says I can have them if I believe." Brother Brown said, "If you believe," he said, "put the same believing you have on your family," he said, "they'll come also." You got a sickness? Brother Brown said, "Just take it and step forward." See, don't wait. Say, "Well, if I feel anointed." Or don't say, "Well, I'll just try it, I guess, tonight. I've tried it before, but I'll just try tonight. I'll get up and walk up there and get them to pray for me, and maybe the Lord will heal me." Don't even come that way, never. Come forward with faith, saying, "The Lord will meet me." Don't say, "If I feel anointed, if I feel this, that." Speak the word and go forward. Isn't that what Moses done? And you see him going on to the promised land, never one time again failing. But as I asked you when we started, if he hadn't failed, you and I'd never make it. So with his failure, you and I'll catch it. With our own failures, we'll catch it. With Brother Branham's own failures, he caught it. Because that's what the Bible says. That with your temptation, in that temptation, something in there will provide a way that you'll be able to stand. Let's stand together. Father, as we come to a close of a service of this way, may we, Lord, just cleanse our hearts, getting ready for the communion. Getting ready for the word, Lord, to be quickened unto us by adding the wine as a stimulation to the natural bread. And as we take that, then may the spiritual bread of heaven be given unto us and the rain fall upon that. Teach us, Lord. Teach us the example the prophet had, that God don't have to push us through and then let us be overcomers, but we don't go through it by ourselves either. "But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me." Lord, let it be that you would have the preeminence in this little church, in our hearts and our lives. Just dismiss from us the sins of our lives. In Jesus' name. As we sing a verse of, "I know it was the blood," if anyone has a need or anything before we take the communion.
If you have anything you want to get out of the way, if you want to be prayed for, whatever you'd want to do, let's just sing that as knowing that we want to always make everything right. If I've done anything to you and some of these that hear this on tape, if I've ever done anything in the world to you, I don't care whether I was right or wrong. If I offended you, then I'm sorry. If I hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. I don't want to never be nothing to where that I can't say that I'm sorry. Because we found this morning, studying on it, I hope you caught that, that your motive and objective is the main thing on speaking the word of Mark 11, because it said if you can't forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Then Mark 11 will never work in your life. If you cannot forgive someone that's done something to you, on whether they were right or wrong, if you can't forgive them, then Mark 11 can never work in your life. I wasn't even talking about that tonight at all. I was talking about a man standing there in the Word, with the Word, and he just simply said, Lord, what must I do? And God got fed up with that. He's fed up with pushing us, making us do. He wants us to stand on faith and believe Him. Anyone has a need? I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. As the brothers prepare the communion, it was Emmanuel's blood. It was Emmanuel's blood. It was Emmanuel's blood for me. One day when I was lost, He died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.